Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 262 of the Maritime Paintball Podcast. I'm super pumped for today because I put up a post, I think yesterday, and of a friend's mask with like a radio thingy and a camera in the center of it, and people lost their minds over it. So I was like, okay, well, we have to get the creator on the show ASAP. Now, luckily, he was available. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further stalling, I introduce Jacob, the man with what is an incredible looking headset. I just noticed your headset's got like
it's Battlefield well. 4. Like a Battlefield 4 headset my friend gave me.
Okay, so from my angle, it looks like the I know there's a technical term for it. When they heat up metal and it gives it the rainbow look.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Heat treated, whatever.
Yeah. It's like in between every anodized layer or something. You know what I mean? Like between every color.
Yep.
That's immediately what I saw. So
it's a lot less spectacular than that, but that's not what we're here for.
No, that is not what we're here for, but we are here for, well, the mask was kind of what kicked this whole thing off. And, but you also have loads of other stuff that you have custom made. I think you just showed off a very cool, Tipex mag in bright green.
Tipex. Yeah. Hey man, when you got a 3D print stuff, you take whatever material they've got at the store.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I just realized you're wearing like the perfect green shirt and I'm so tempted to green screen you right now.
No, don't. I will run into the other room and get something else. I mean, it's the same green.
Oh man.
That wasn't
okay,
intentional.
Okay, so that it's funny though, because I'm just getting the flashbacks of when people were like green screening the queen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So I'm gonna green screen in like one of Nightmare's videos onto your shirt. I'm gonna do that while you're chatting. I might try and figure that out. I'm scared I'll try and crash something though all at the same time. So let's talk about the mask. Yeah, the mask that everyone was losing their minds over. So it for those that don't know, is that a ProFlex?
Got it right here. No, it's bog standard JT, you know. This is the mask that I started with, the $50 whatever. I don't even know what it's called. Spectre, I think. JT Spectra.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, that's the Spectra.
So it's had some upgrades.
Yeah. So run us through it. So first of all, you're rocking an OG mask. Like that's an old school mask at this point, especially when it's the sub-$100 price point. But let's talk about the thing hanging off the side of it. I think a lot of people were intrigued by that.
This thing or this thing?
Pick one and then we'll go to the other one. I didn't know there was two things.
Well, I'm trying to even remember what order these went on in. I think it was very similar, but let's go to this one here first. So you'll see here we have this mounted on the side and it's actually removable. This is a little device I got off of Amazon after a lot of research. It is a motorcycle intercom system. And it is like absolute bottom of the barrel, cheapest thing I could find.
Only the best for him.
Well, if you look at like, I'm assuming the type of brands that they would sell in a motorcycle store, like somewhere, something you'd find locally, like brand name, you're looking at like $1,000.
Yeah, that's because the people who buy them are the same people who buy the $60,000 Harleys and think they belong with the Outlaws.
Yeah, and of course they've got one for them and one for their wife or girlfriend or their buddy or whatever. And those ones are really nice. They can do like chat calls where you've got like all of the whole group of bikers. They can all be on the same call. You're all just talking back and forth. This one here is a bit simpler than that. It has 6 connections, but you can only connect to one of those 5 people at a time. So this works really well for my wife and I. We play together all the time. And what we do is we just pair the two of them together and we hit the call button, and sometimes it works. And it's just the two of us talking back and forth.
Sometimes it works.
Let's just say the instructions were a little bit Chinesium, a little bit confusing. And sometimes we forget how to use them.
Just straight up Google Translate, not even like a good one either. Yeah. Just copy and paste.
Pretty much. So this here, it comes with a charger, and it comes with this audio cable here. And the cable connects to, it's got a mic. So it's meant to attach to a motorcycle helmet. So it's got this mic that Velcros and stickies onto the side of your helmet. And it goes up in front of your face. And then it's got these two ear pads. So it's kind of like these. It's not like a sticking into your ear kind of headphone thing. It's just a pad that has a speaker in it.
Yep.
And those also Velcro in. And I'm trying to see if I can get a picture of this on the camera. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Right here.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yes. So that's what we hear through. We've got one on each ear of the mask. Oh, and then right in here, you have the microphone. We just have that stuck on right here at the back of the mask.
A little bit and JB just, weld.
No. Just adhesive. And it just sticks up in the face area. And there's a lot of extra cable that you have to like tie up and find places to route it and stuff, but beyond that, it's super super simple installation. And we haven't really learned to use it to its full extent, but it has definitely allowed us to pull off some sneaky maneuvers where we're constantly communicating, but we're not shouting loud enough for the other team to hear us.
Okay. Yeah, it's good for like, you know, That flanking maneuver, that one person flank, you know, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So one of you can swing in behind somebody and keep talking kind of thing. That's cool. Yeah,
that happened to us last week, actually. We were playing a couple 2v2 games at Hypersports here in Nova Scotia. And we were playing against Trevor, who is our teammate in the CMC there last year, actually. And my wife, we took out his teammate, and my wife was sitting there. He was shooting at her. He was inside a C-can, and she's going, he's looking at me, he's looking at me. And I'm like, all right. And I'm just like tiptoeing around the side of the C-can, and I come up behind him in the window, and he's there looking in the opposite direction. And I knew he was, because she was able to tell me the whole time, you've got clear movement and he won't see you.
That's awesome.
And I shot him in the back
all at the same time. Like that is what some people dream of when it comes
to running radios. Yeah, so that's her end of it. Mine's about the same. I'll show you my mask. Mine's a little bit more high end.
Okay.
I've got
I4s. Are you got the are those Uzis? The Uzis. Inside the lens. For your eyes? The little
No, that's something else, Costa. We can get to that.
Okay. Wait, that's custom. Oh, we got stuff I didn't even know was custom.
Yeah, there's more stuff in this than there is in hers. But yeah, I've got the same unit on here. It's all attached the same way. Mine has a problem where the mic kind of just likes to fall out into my teeth all the time.
Nice. I too enjoy eating the microphone. So
it turns out that when you're sweating, a lot of glue stops working. So
it's amazing how. Like, people are just like, oh, if you glue this to that, it'll never come apart. And I'm like, human sweat will dissolve anything. With enough time, it will eat anything.
I especially have that issue. The foam in my mask, even though I completely replaced it, installed it correctly, started peeling it again. Turns out, hot glue works wonders.
Yeah. That makes sense. Okay.
Because it gets into the foam and connects it all together, and you can't sweat it off.
No,
unless you're going like 200 degrees. If you're 200 degrees, you get other problems though.
Yeah, right. Like, yeah, if your sweat is taken out like hot glue, you need to go to the hospital, bro. So comments are coming in. People are talking about how they trying to, like, Aaron Clark, he'd have to run the mic at minus 30 decibels while playing speedball. I think he's referring to the fact that he screams constantly on the field, which is what you're supposed to do in speedball. So
they're actually there. I don't know how well it would work in a group call. Like, obviously the function is limited on these. They can't really do more than two people. So, like, when we're playing, we can turn each other's volume up and down. They have little volume buttons right here in the middle, and they're actually upside down. So up is your down volume and down is your up volume. Try remembering that.
So that's a circuit board made by the lowest bidder.
Like, yeah. Well, this is a Lexan brand, but if you go on like AliExpress, there's like 500 different brand names. So it's definitely, you know, just your cookie cutter model.
100%. That is somebody, some nameless company designed that thing and licensed it to hundreds of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly what happened. Yeah. And then it got built by people who just were not paid enough.
So to explain these a little bit further, the situation that actually brought up the post that my wife made that you shared that kind of exploded that caused this conversation is that my friend who doesn't have one of these is our teammate for the CMC next week.
Yep.
So Elise and I are playing. We've got comms, but last year we didn't have our third on our comms and we wanted to try to fix that. So we're trying to figure out what to do. It's like, oh, we could wear like Bluetooth headphones and we could be on a phone call and do like a conference call. And it's like, okay, that would work. But I don't have Bluetooth headphones and I'm racking my brain and I go, oh wait, this thing is meant for motorcyclists. And I remember when I was buying it, that it can connect to your phone and it can play music and you can answer calls.
Ooh, there you go.
So my buddy pops in his little Bluetooth earbud. It's just like the AirPod style one where it's two wireless ones. He pops that in his ear and calls me on the phone, and I pair this up, Bluetooth, up to my headset, and I pair the other one up to my wife's phone with her headset. And next thing you know, we're in a phone call, and it works. There's a little bit more lag than the direct connection, but it works.
Are we talking like enough lag that it's going to screw you at the CMC, or is it just like enough lag that you just got to get used to it?
It's enough lag that if you're too close to the person, you can hear them in both their voice and in the headset, that it scrambles your brain. It's like a half second lag.
Yeah. It's like, it's not even like a two separate sentences. It's just like, it's like a statement and a half overlapping each other kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. We're going to stay away from each other and it'll work okay.
You know what? I think that will work for the CMC. let me see some of the comments here. Zach Joseph, totally hands-free, hashtag dope. Oz, I'm not pronouncing that last name. I may need to add this to my helmet. Dustin wants to know if there's a woods ball field at Hypersports. There is, isn't there? Kinda. Yeah, it has a tree.
It's all under tree cover, but it's very cleared out and it's all kind of bunker like built up, like buildings and spools and stuff like that. You're not actually hiding in bushes.
So, let's see here. Who the hell is that? Yeah, Aaron Clark. Be crazy for 10-man woods ball tournaments using these things. It would, once you get into those big scenario, not even scenario games, but like the big woods ball tourneys where it was like, it's basically speedball in the woods. That would come in handy when you got 10 players and all 10 players can communicate. However, I feel like if you had 10 players on one channel, it's just going to sound like gibberish.
It'd be like Discord when you're like playing like three-man Apex Legends or something, and then somebody else, two other people drop in and they're playing Rocket League and you're just like, shut up.
Yeah, yeah. Zach has also said, y'all need to get on that E6000 adhesive bandwagon. If I knew that, you know what, I'm going to look that up. E6000 adhesive. What is that? E6000.
It's probably something industrial.
It's probably something you need a special license to buy.
Zach's the machinist in Ontario, isn't he?
It is not specialized. It's Eclectic Products. I don't know what Eclectic is. Let's see. Best-selling craft adhesive known for exceptional strength, flexibility, and toughness, formulated for high-performance industrial requirements. will fuse everything. Wood, metal, glass, fiberglass, ceramics, masonry, concrete, leather, rubber, vinyl, plastics. It just keeps going.
But can it withstand my sweat?
That's
the
question.
Thing.
Can it withstand human sweat? I love that it's non-flammable once cured, but it is flammable while it is not cured. So it, that tells me that it dissolves in alcohol. That's funny. It can handle... Oh, what? That's lame. Indoor, outdoor, withstands temperatures of 10 to 32 degrees Celsius. I'm sorry, but that's pretty weak by Canadian standards. I'm just saying. Like, and it's like minus 40 Fahrenheit. And I'm like, so I don't understand. That doesn't make any sense. Their website must be wrong. It says minus 40 to 180 degrees Fahrenheit. And then in brackets, it says 10 to 32 degrees Celsius. 180 is a lot hotter than 32 Celsius.
Yeah.
There's something wrong in that website. I don't trust this company anymore.
He says E6000 is sweatproof. I'll have to test that sometime because I bought work glasses that had like the silicone on the ear, and I've just completely destroyed the silicone. So... I will put that to the test if I can pick some up.
Oz wants to know about battery. How's the battery on that rig?
Oh, battery. It's not bad. I mean, it's a rechargeable battery. We don't play big scenarios. Like, we'll do day long events that usually last like 6 hours. We'll turn it off if there's a lunch break. But beyond that, I don't think we've ever had it run out of battery unless we forgot to charge it the night before.
Like, it looks pretty beefy. Like, it looks like it's a lot of battery to it.
No.
Is that just all air?
It's really light. This is a very, very light unit. I haven't taken it apart yet, but there's not a lot of battery in there. I don't think it needs a lot, though. I mean, I think we'll be putting it to the stress test next weekend while being on the phone while also connected to Bluetooth. Actually, maybe not. Actually, might be less, but anyway.
I heard it because Bluetooth is such a low power frequent signal, right? It doesn't drain battery too much.
It's not as bad as Wi-Fi, that's for sure. I mean, we use these. I mean, these are actually connected to each. When you're using it like in just this mode and you're not connected to the phone, it is connecting to the other one via Bluetooth. Which,
okay,
I was thinking it wasn't going to be a lot of range, but We've only had occasional issues with it. I don't know how to compare it to like size, but if you remember Seabreeze, we would have to be, they had that little new section of field they were building on the woods. We would have to be basically in opposite ends of the whole entire property and it would start cutting out. And it cuts out, like, it doesn't get super garbly. It just kind of just drops. You'll just get gaps.
That's pretty good distance.
But, I mean, if you're on a speedball field, it's going to work. It's going to work at CMC. I mean, we've tested it there. You never lose signal on a field that small.
Yeah. No.
It definitely wouldn't withstand a big event like D-Day or something. It would just be too far. You'd have to be on phones or walkie-talkies at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, even the walkie-talkies struggled at D-Day. There's so many hills. As soon as you lose line of sight, right? So.
Oh no.
Oh no. Did something go wrong with the printer?
I heard it skipping. Let's see if I can bring this over here without dropping my phone. It is no longer printing material, I don't think. I've been having some issues with this. It drops like 10 degrees and then stops printing properly. I'm going to let it run for a little bit and see if it's right, if I'm right. But
That sucks, man.
Yeah. Oh well. Can't all be a win when it comes to coming up with cool stuff.
That's true. You gotta have some mess ups every once in a while to even it all out. So let's take a look. Okay, so we've talked about the communication side of that mask, that crazy ridiculous stuff. So let's talk about that little eye there in the center.
Yeah, so you want to see the other side of this unit.
Oh, there's another thing to it. Yeah, what's
Well, I mean, you've got the communications on this side, and here we have a Mobius camera.
Okay, so explain to those. I know what that is, but maybe the people at home don't know. But what's a Mobius camera?
Mobius camera is very similar to like a run cam or a lot of the YouTubers that do paintball. They're using them to like as their scope cam. They're putting it on top of their gun, you know, on the Picatinny rail or something.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's like what Nightmare has, you know, he's got it set and he's got a scope picture he puts over top of it. It's the same type of thing. It's meant for the same type of purpose, which is kind of a multifunction purpose. So this guy here, you can use as anything from a motion activated security camera, a backup camera for your car, or an action camera, or you can mount it on a drone. It's kind of just whatever you wanted to do. It'll do all those things.
Gotcha.
So it's nice and light. Let's see if I could pop it out. This is on a little mount. And this mount actually has a quarter 20 screw hole in it for attaching like a normal camera mount. Like, you know, the little thing that you screw into the bottom of the camera.
Yeah, like a tripod.
Yeah, exactly. So that's how he attached it to the mask. It's just this little case thing that they give you. And it just put a couple washers in there and clamped it on tight.
Nice.
This is the camera unit itself. It is also quite light. There's not a whole lot to it. But you see this wire hanging out of it?
Yeah.
That's not stock.
I imagine not. Are you literally running a wire from the board to the lens, like to the imaging cell, like to the actual,
yeah.
That's wild.
So because this was meant to run on a drone, you have to deal with center of balance and stuff, so you might not be able to put the camera where you want it. So people started making and selling these extension cables for the actual lens module. So
that's this... so cool. Like, it's just so cool. That's nuts.
So this allowed me to pop out the lens module, and I 3D printed a little thing that would fill the hole where the lens once was, because otherwise you're just going to get paint and gunk all in there. And
I would have just duct taped it, but.
And you can kind of see it right up in.
Oh yeah.
Here. Yeah. So it's completely bare. There's nothing protecting it from sweat or anything. It's completely not waterproof. This is the most non-permanent system I've probably ever modded onto anything, but it's lasted over a year.
That's nuts. Zach puts it the best way. That internal camera is pure hotness.
Oh man, it's amazing. Once I it took me a long time to find out if this cable was even a distinct possibility, a slight possibility. And once I found something, it was kind of on the old side. Like, this camera has been around for a while. They've got like two or three new versions of it, but this is the only one that had the length required.
So it's basically just, because I imagine the camera module is connected, would normally just connect via ribbon wire, right? Like just so it's ribbon wire that's then basically converted ribbon... into a regular wire. They like a coiled, like a braided wire.
It's a little ribbon connector that just goes into a whole bunch of cables, and they just kind of wrap tape around it. It's like a hockey tape that's wrapped around it. It's totally not sketchy at all.
No, not at all. That is okay.
I can pop the lens off of this one. We can see it a little bit closer.
Sure.
I am not going to pop a lens off a JT, at least not in a time concerning manner.
God, no. You need to set, like, schedule that. Like, a lot of people, like, you see so many people trying to find these innovative ways of mounting GoPros. And we're talking, you got people like Zach there who's machining the mounts for them, so super sturdy mounts, so you never have to worry about them breaking or cracking. You've got all, like, the Slim came up with it, and then Nightmare, I think, perfected it. I don't know. And he's got, like, the cameras upside down with a bunch of arms, and it's in front of his mask. And there's all sorts of these weird, wonderful ways of people doing this. But I got it. Yours is probably the coolest, man. Like, that's, you don't know the camera's there.
Yeah, when I came up with this, I was like, man, why hasn't this... I mean, if I had the entrepreneurial, like, itch, I would probably try to bring this to market. But, like, why hasn't anyone else done something like that? I guess it's kind of hard to guarantee it's waterproof. Also, I have a hard time finding these cameras now.
So Zach has pointed out waterproofing for industrial electronics is just gobbing hot glue all over it.
Yeah, here's the problem, though, is that actually I have done that on this one. You might not be able to see it up in here. But I did gob hot glue on mine.
Yeah.
Did you sweat? But this one presses, like, in the JT, it's not so bad. But this one presses right up against my forehead, basically. It's right on level with the foam.
knowing that on Saturday, I'm going to look for a little like indent on your forehead. I want to see like how badly it pushes in.
Oh, it's not that bad. Like I'm resting on like, if I had an indent when just from normal mask wearing, you would probably see it, but my mask isn't that tight. So,
oh.
All right. So I'll pop this guy off. I was going to say I'll put it on and show you how it looks, but it just looks like a regular mask. So it's a little bonkers looking because I also have glasses in here.
What the? Okay.
Yeah, we're on a little tangent here now.
What the? That is the most ridiculous mask interior I have ever seen.
Yeah. There's a reason why. There's a reason why I switched to a tinted lens.
No, you should be rocking a clear lens, man. That shit needs to be seen by the world.
It looks really strange.
Yeah.
It looks really strange. I could send you some pictures of me looking really strange. Actually, anything from CNC last year, just really, really strange.
So, Derek Kelly, since the days of Mission, you have always been a league of your own for innovative paintball visions. Well done, sir.
Derek Kelly, why doesn't that name ring a bell? It's been a long time since Mission. It's been a long time.
Derek Kelly's been around for a while.
He's friends with Scott Cameron. Okay, I know both of those mutual friends, so I'm clicking on him. He's a dog. I see
a
dog.
He's a dog.
Yeah. That's cool. Mission was a long time ago. That field doesn't even exist anymore.
No, but unfortunately.
So anyway, yeah, I don't have like really bad vision problems, but my what I do have, it kind of makes it hard to see in woods ball because all the trees kind of just go blend together.
That's
so
legit.
I was trying to figure out how to fit my glasses in, and that it's an i4. It's too small. You can't fit glasses in it. And I bought the ones that were going on around Facebook a while ago, where you kind of squeeze them and you pop them into the lens and you let go and it's supposed to stay in place. Did you ever see those? No.
Nah, the only ones I've ever come across were they're called the Uzis, and they like somehow snapped into the mask.
Let's see. This is what I bought. So it has.
Those might actually be it. Hold on.
It has this on it, and it had it on the top too. I cut them off because it wouldn't fit. The i4s are too small for these.
So yeah, those are it. I think those are the actual. Those are the same ones that I thought they were.
Yeah, so these here, I saw them on their website. They're like $160 American, and I'm a Canadian, and I was like, hell no. Yep. I can't afford that. So I went on AliExpress and found these for $5.
Yeah, so the actual UZ are $207 right now.
Yeah, that's expensive. I mean, yeah. I had to go to my optometrist and get the lenses installed in them, but that was like $98 or something. But they didn't end up working. They were just too big for the space that's in the i4s. So I also work in machining and, you know, the industry, and I need safety glasses. And I was having a terrible time with safety glasses that actually corrected my vision that weren't terrible. A lot of them, they'll just like completely block off your vision. So it's like wearing blinders all day and you're like, oh yeah. But I found this pair that has like a sheet. The shield part is one unit, the frame is another unit, and then this wire frame thing is a whole entire unit on its own. And I started popping it into my mask because I had installed this camera by this point. So let's see if we can get a close-up on that.
That's wild, man.
So I just hung it off the camera, put a dab of hot glue on it, and and absolutely coated it in anti-fog. Absolutely coated it. But I mean, I've been running these in my mask for the last month or two without having to take them out. I anti-fogged them really good and I put them in there, and I've left them in there.
That's so like awesome,
if anyone wants to know how to get glasses in their mask, I can and will help you, because these frames are $18 from a local company here. You just got to get the lenses put on them.
Which, yeah, if you wear glasses, regularly, then you would know how to go get lenses and whatnot. You understand that game. Mike Merlot made a point too about the adhesives and stuff like that. He said that anybody who does a lot of LARPing would probably have like a really good idea for like an adhesive that doesn't get destroyed by sweat.
Probably, yeah. Right. Cosplayers will sweat like crazy in those suits.
Yeah. They do.
Fun fact, I tried cosplay once. I wasn't that good at it.
No. What was your costume?
Halo armor.
Nice. Wait, did you try to build Halo armor yourself?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was my first semester at university. It was not a good way to spend my time.
I imagine not. I didn't go to university, so I don't know. I've wasted a lot of my time.
So I'm going to take this off for you guys so you can see the actual lens module.
Oh, we're going to see the magic.
Yeah.
We're going to see the magic.
I have two 3D printed pieces, one on the bottom of the vents in the mask and one on the top. The one on the top has a magnet to hold my cowboy hat on. And
your cowboy hat is held on with a magnet?
Yes.
Oh my god, that's amazing. What if it surprises, like, does this thing make coffee?
No. I kind of wish it did. I wouldn't have had to buy some the other day. All right. Okay, there's, yeah, just, I forgot.
What the...
So I've
Oh shit.
Okay. Guys, he's broken. Someone fix
a little
him.
Bit. So just
welcome to, I don't know, my mind, my creative, you know, problems. So continuing on. So here's my camera module, or the camera module. You can see it can take a hit. I have been hit on this multiple times.
Nice.
It's all dirty still because I didn't clean it up from the weekend. No, I got hit in the mask about 6 times on Sunday, on Saturday, so yeah. So here is, I have it kind of poked through the mesh there. Can you see it in the video?
Yep.
So I have a little 3D printed thing. It's on an angle so that it's kind of looking straight when I'm looking straight. This one's got a nice wide angle lens in it. And I am just noticing that one of these wires has come disconnected. That's awesome. I probably just did that. Because there's a lot of little wires in there.
We can't be held responsible.
You can see this right here. This is just a ribbon connector that just runs to all those cables.
Yeah, just a bit of quick solder.
That's a very tiny wire to solder. You haven't seen my soldering.
Is it bad?
I don't know. I have to unglue it and find out. And take all the hockey tape off too. So yeah.
Oh god, and hockey tape leaves the worst residue.
Yeah, the residue is already on it too. Yeah. Hey, if my camera doesn't work, it's the podcast's fault. Does that mean you guys have to buy me a new one?
As soon as I have the money, when the podcast eventually makes enough money to buy you that, then yes. But until then, no.
It's okay. You can't buy it anyway. I have a hard time finding them online, so you know.
There. We might have to start up like a GoFundMe, but instead of money, we'll just get people to like sell you their cameras.
I don't know. I'm sure I'll find... The only problem will be finding time to get it in there because I've got so much other stuff I'm building right now. Oh, and my print's still printing. Okay, I was wrong.
Sick.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm a little distracted. For those who don't know, I'm currently preparing for the competitive Canadian MagFed competition on Saturday, and I kind of left stuff to last minute, and I've got about 80 hours of printing to squeeze in between now and then on a printer that's not exactly reliable.
Yeah, you're going to struggle with that one, that's for sure.
Guess what? I went with a Chinese intercom system and a Chinese camera system and a Chinese printer system.
Gotta go Japanese, bro. Gotta go Japanese. That's the way it goes, that stuff. Okay, so we've seen... Oh, yeah.
That's the masks.
That's wild.
And there's a lot in there.
What's really wild is that, like, what you just did, like, what you've done with those masks are something that Dai and Empire, basically, they tried and it didn't go well with them. So if those who may not know, Dai back in the day, and by back in the day, I mean a couple of years ago, offered a radio system that could be mounted inside of the i5s, and it would talk to your marker, and you could also communicate with people on the field. Like, you could link up it was meant for the speedball field, so Bluetooth worked fine, you know, short distances, and people didn't like it. It didn't do well. It felt very gimmicky. And then Empire, of course, with the EVS, and they were like, we've made it compatible with this ridiculous $700 heads-up display system that nobody bought.
Yeah, that heads-up display system.
Like I get the point of it. Like, it was, the heads-up display system was originally developed for, like, skiers
Ski
and
goggles.
Snowboarders. And, yeah, it was basically to give you an idea of where you were in case you got lost, or to track your rip down the hill. And they were like, yeah, you could link up with other players and you could see where you are on the map and download field maps. And I was just like, find me more than one paintballer that will spend this kind of money. Like, find me more than
one. Yeah. I think when the heads up stuff, like the actual tech, becomes a little less expensive, and when a time comes, we can just wirelessly connect it to our phone, I think you'd see a boom then, because that's a really cool, everyone who plays video games wants that.
Absolutely. It's just not for $700, man.
No.
But I'm just, it's the stuff that they've tried to do. And how many times do you see, like, how many paintballers have cameras on their masks now? There's hundreds.
A lot.
All the time. You go to the field and at least a third of the players have cameras mounted onto their masks. I'm surprised a company has not teamed up with a company like GoPro, or, you know what I mean? Like a manufacturer of wee little cameras, and done something like what you've just done. It doesn't need to be super high end. It just needs to be good enough.
Yeah. It would be really cool. I mean, I think the hard part would be in an actual, like, consumer solution, like, to try to encase something small enough, because the way these work is it sits right here, right between your eyes. So, like, this is almost as close as you can get to point of view first person.
The next thing up is two cameras.
The only thing you miss is, like, if you look down a scope, you're just going to see the side of the scope because it's not actually on your eye. But if you were to enclose this in something that they would be like, yeah, we can put a warranty on this, it would probably start getting a bit bulkier, and, you know, it might not be as marketable that way. Also, this cable exists for GoPros. I don't remember which generation, but you can find this cable, except it's a fully ribbon cable, so it's super fragile, and it's about $200.
I just mean, like, I'm surprised nobody else has done this yet. Like, I really am. It's fantastic that you've done it and I get to see it.
Someone should do it. I'd love to be the guy who does it, but I'm
right. And
terrible
it doesn't need to be crazy expensive. It just needs to be usable. You know what I mean? And with that little camera that you've got there, like the rig that you mounted to the side, realistically, the board, the logic board inside of that thing and all the components could be rearranged and lengthened or shift, you know what I mean? Shaped in such a way that it'll fit a little more streamlined. It could be done. I'm just really impressed that nobody's done it. Matthew Sears says we should check out the Ronin Kinetic Esports for your heads up map scenario to your phone. What is that? Ronin Kinetic Esports. What are you?
I know there's a couple. There's a couple apps, or at least one app you can get that's meant mainly for airsoft, where fields can upload a map version of their field, and it connects to GPS, and you can see where your teammates and stuff are. That exists, but you have to have your phone.
That was the thing that they talked about, like putting it on your wrist. Was that? Probably. And it was like, cool, I'm not taking my $1,000 phone onto a paintball field, especially on my wrist. So.
Hey, guess what? I'm talking to you on a Chinese phone that I got for $300, so I'm fine with it.
That works.
You see, I think there's a theme here. Where's my? Where is that? I swear I'm Canadian.
It's upside down. I'm trying to find more information on their stuff, but their Facebook page is just full of memes.
Oh, that's nice.
It's just shitloads of memes. Wait.
You see what Mark Bland said?
No.
That HK has a patent for a camera and a hopper?
That's cool. Apparently Immortal Air has an AR project coming along. I don't know what the hell that is.
I don't use hoppers.
I mean, a camera and a hopper sounds like a great idea for speedball. That sounds phenomenal. And you know what? I know how to do it right now. Pinocchio. No, Pinocchio hopper.
Yeah, I was thinking of Pinocchio too. That's what it end up kind of being like. I mean, you're going to sacrifice some weight and space that you would normally put some paintballs in. That's the only thing, actually. A good thing to point out is this center camera system. If you play hopper fed, there's almost no point because the hopper's always in the way. I have a marker that I put the magazine on the top, and if you're holding it the wrong way, you can't see nothing. You
can't see anything, eh? I mean, that's just the way it goes. That's why a lot of the big YouTubers like Nightmare have like 17 cameras.
Yeah.
Right? It's so that at least one camera is seeing what's going on. So that's why they have so many cameras, which so I'm just reminded of the meme making fun of like the Airsofters live stream, and they had like 6 cameras or 7 cameras on their body. It was just funny. One in the toe.
You need to figure out how to get these cameras into like the every person's setup for the CMC so you can live stream that and just switch between all the different people on the field.
So
that'd be an expensive setup.
I looked into like, cause for me, if I'm going to do something like a live stream of the CMC, I don't want low quality. I want 1080p. I want high quality stream. Right. And I was like, there's gotta be a way to do it. I'm like, they can stream news coverage from the middle of the friggin' desert to me at home. Like, there's a way to do it. How can it be?
They done? Also have a lot of expensive equipment.
Yes. And it was like, at first, the first thing I found, it was like satellite uplink. I'm like, I am not paying for satellite uplink. That's outrageous. And then the other thing, as I found, is this like magical little box. It's like this big. It's like, I don't know, it's 10 inches. And it's basically, it's a Pelican box, and inside of it is like 12 iPhones, and they're all daisy chained together. And what it is, they're all daisy chained together, and they each stream out, basically it divides up the signal, and they all send out a different little piece of the stream. And then it all comes together at like this other point. And it's just like, oh my God.
Expensive box also.
it is, but it's the one that they connect to the like $25,000 cameras that these guys carry on their shoulders. Like, this thing is hardcore. Anyways, I looked. The cell phone coverage in Berry Hills, New Brunswick, unfortunately, is not strong enough to support.
And in fact, I'm worried that it's not even going to be strong enough to support us trying to do a phone call.
You should be fine. I've live streamed from the field. It just hasn't been great quality.
I'll like run in behind the Econo Lodge and lose connection.
Probably. I would love to do streaming. I'm maybe in the future, if that spot gets like, if they get high speed internet, like if they get fiber optic internet there, and then they
5G,
and then like 5G or like a fiber op, like even if they get fiber at the house, and then I can run wires to the rooftops of the buildings, and then I can do a mesh network kind of thing. Like, there's a way I can do it. I have the technological knowledge.
This sounds like a lot of investment.
I just don't have the 5Gs in cash to get it done. is the problem. That's where I immediately, like, everyone's just like, oh, you got to live stream it. I'm like, oh, you got to pay me. That's what it immediately comes down to. You got to pay me. Because I don't have the money to do it.
Zach Joseph filing the patent application for a camera and a T15 mag right now. Right meow.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
It's all fun and games until you chuck it on the ground and forget about it.
Hold on. I'm thinking, though. That would make a really sick little promo video.
You have to sacrifice one paintball, and the last round out of the gun is the camera.
But I'm thinking, like, that'd be a sick promo of just, like, the mag going into the well, and then, like, boom, 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 and then just, like, either the mag going into the dump pouch and then just never being seen again, or, like, being whipped down and then watching you run away.
Yeah, it's good for that one shot. Yeah. That's funny. I like that.
Cell boosters stacked, land streaming. Oh yeah, all sorts of stuff.
There is a YouTube video. If you ever heard of Rooster Teeth, they did a series where they played video game stuff in real life, and they were trying to test screen cheating. And this was before VR took off. They put a couple crappy screens over their face with the camera on their head, and then they sent both signals to a box, and then they sent both signals back so they could see them, what they were seeing, and they could see what their friend was seeing. And they ran around a paintball field falling into holes.
That's hilarious. But it's like, I mean, you ever see the one where the dude literally set himself up with like VR and was followed by a drone, and he tried to do his day in third person?
I did, yeah.
Like, and it just didn't work.
Turns out you just can't see your hands.
Yeah.
Printer, no! My printer is terrible. I'm just going to turn it off.
Oh, no. Matthew Sears said he's feeling very Lord of War by Nick Cage. And that's what he means by, like, the mag. Like, if you ever seen Lord of War, there's a whole... Okay, you have to see it. It's a phenomenal movie.
Okay.
Because if you look at it, you think it's going to be an action movie, and it's not. It actually just straight up shows, like, the terrors and the horrors of, like, gun runners. Anyways, the opening scene follows... It starts off with a sheet of brass, which then gets turned into a shell, and you literally follow it through the machine, being turned into a bullet, being shipped, being loaded into a magazine, and then being fired.
That's cool.
Yeah, super cool. Super cool. Oh no, Prince. That looks terrible.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Garbage.
I lost my train of thought.
I've got a bunch of other stuff here to show you.
Yeah, keep bringing up the mag. I want to see the Tippex mag.
You want to see the mag? Yeah, there was a couple people that wanted to see the mag. There were also a couple people who wanted me to prove that it was a 20-round magazine. Let me see. I've got some paintballs here.
Okay, Matthew Sears is giving me my next videography project. I am by no means a director, but I will figure out how to recreate that scene with a first strike.
That would be cool. Yeah, especially the shot where they ultrasonically weld the two halves together.
Yeah. I don't know how to shoot that. What frame rate would I need to see ultrasonic vibration?
Slow-mo guys levels, I think.
Yeah, that's like, yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's see that.
So here's the green on green.
Why is it taped?
Because it's two pieces and I don't have the fasteners for it yet.
Oh.
Yeah. There is a couple design constraints when you're dealing with 3D printed magazines, especially something as space efficient as a Tippex magwell, a Tippex mag. And it's required me to buy some stuff from McMaster Car that hasn't showed up yet.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a 20 round continuous feed Tippex mag.
Yeah, so darn, we don't have a Zetamag to compare at the moment. I know what box it's in; it's right there. my beautiful wife is gonna grab me a Tippex mag.
She didn't bring the Halo costume. We specifically asked in the chat for the Halo costume.
That thing is buried very, very deep.
She said she could get us the helmet.
Oh yeah, the helmet does exist. The helmet was the only part not made out of foam. So here you have your standard Zeta.
Yeah.
And here we have my creation, and you can see it's about an inch shorter.
Yeah, a bit shorter.
But it has 20 rounds, and it's constant, and you don't have to flip. There's no Z-axis rotation. So let's load this up.
All right, we're going to count them. 1, 2, 3. This is the most boring thing I've ever done. 4.
Oh, I dropped one.
4, 5.
That's 6. Oh. 7.
I've already
8,
messed up.
9. Whoop, another one. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20.
Excuse me.
Sticking
20.
Out a little bit.
Does it fit in a Tippex? Yes. That's what Zach Joseph wants to know.
Ha No.
It's not a Tippex mag. It's a custom mag. It's completely custom. Inspired by the Tippex.
Well, it is inspired. It's definitely inspired. I mean, if we pop open this little side cover, the parts are all very similar to a Zeta. I didn't copy them all. I came up with it all my own, 100%. But the problem is I couldn't figure out a nice, easy system that I could 3D print that would not snap in half with the force of the 20-round spring in here.
Sure.
So this little lever here, this is my release. So this would be obscured by a Tippex magwell or the grip.
Okay.
So this section here is shorter than on a Tippex. So what this was actually modeled after was the Milsig SMG, which, if you recall, yep, uses the same magazine. They just have a different cutout. Instead of locking on the front, it locks right here on the back.
Yep.
So I have two markers, one that is a work in progress and one that is finished, that uses a system. So that's kind of why I built it around it. Oh my goodness. This is like one of the first things I ever made. This was my helmet for my costume.
That is some ODS level shit, bro. ODST. That's what I meant.
Actually, this is the EOD helmet from Halo 3. Sort of, but a bit customized. It's also full of spider webs. I'm not putting that on.
Full of spider webs. Where the hell were you people keeping that?
That was, we don't have a lot of space in our apartment, so a lot of stuff just stays buried. So, to get to the rest of the 20 round magazine, I can show you this. This is a Tippmann Stormer that has been completely modified. The whole entire front end, we bought the Stormer basic. So like the rental model that is just hopper fed. It doesn't have a magazine feed, but of course those parts just come off. So I bought that for my wife and I printed this. This is the first thing I printed for it. It is a magazine or magwell that fits Zeta mags and it fits my 20 round magazine. And then I ended up getting a bit prettier with it. And
ooh,
we've got
some futuristic carving things in there and what looks to be a Loch Ness monster.
Yep, that would be Nessie from Titanfall and Apex Legends. And this gun is actually the R301. So all of this model from the Stormer and all the way up to the tip, this is all R301 from Apex Legends. The whole entire thing.
That's phenomenal. Does the magazine go in at an angle?
It does. It doesn't go in at the angle that the design suggests. But it does go in at somewhat
a slight angle. Enough to not be boring.
Yeah. If you go any further on an angle with a Zeta mag, you're going to have a half a paintball sitting there for your last round, and it's just going to chop, and it's not going to be fun.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
So this is there's that magazine fitting in. You can see where this tab is right here that I can push.
Yeah, so you load that in, and then you push that button, and then it releases the mag.
And gotcha. This is a terrible idea, but I will, in fact, push this button on the camera. And I will get my mic nice and close to it. So it's kind of finicky, but I'll have to press it a little bit further. And there goes the spring.
All right. It's now loaded.
There's now nothing, like, my detent system in this magazine is not currently strong enough to hold back any of the paintballs. So I'm just going to have to feed them out this way. But it is loading each one of these.
Just slowly shoving them down the barrel.
Yeah, There is one thing that I haven't actually accounted for in this yet, which is the follower comes out of the magazine when it reaches the end of the feed, and the whole spring just gets jammed to the bolt if you fire 21 shots.
Oh, so
that's going to happen to me here at some point. I'm going to take it out before that happens. I only have so many springs. So, yeah, there we go.
Okay. So yeah, you might want to.
I've already come up with a solution for that. I just haven't executed it yet because it's late. I came up with it yesterday. But where even is that? This resets just like a Helix magazine. So I actually printed myself some paintball-sized beads on a piece of guitar string that I picked up. And you push this all the way around the corner. I don't have the long part to the end of it, but push that around the corner and make sure it locks back, and away you go.
That's pretty cool.
It works pretty well.
That is still pretty high level like innovation going on there, man.
It's still alpha level stuff. Like, I literally just threw this together this past week.
I've been working on it. Like, in like the premier Meg Fed event. No, that's a lie. But you're about to stress test it in, like, if it's going to break, it's going to break at this event.
It's not very durable at the moment. That's just regular PLA plastic at the moment. My tough stuff is what I'm trying to print tonight, and it's not going well. But, the only parts that there's a couple parts I got from McMaster Car for it, like the spring for the detent, some 256 threaded rod. But like, other than like, the spring is out of a Helix magazine. I just bought a 20 round Helix magazine spring.
Sorry, I'm not yawning at you. I'm reason tired.
But like, if I don't count costs for material and printing time, because it's just my hobby and I don't ever really count those costs, right, I can probably make these for $10 a piece personally. Whether I can make them reliably or not, it's another story.
There you go. Dude, we're at an hour. That flew by.
An hour.
Yeah, we've been chatting for an hour. Let's see what this monster looks like.
This is my shooter for the event next weekend.
Beautiful.
Can you even see all that on the camera?
No. Keep going.
Keep going. I'm at the end of my cord almost.
All right. Now go to the right. There. Now we can see it all. That's nuts, man. So I wanted to explain this. You mentioned in the rules. So I've got to revamp the rules. It does state that the MagFed event, the MagFed competition, requires a MagFed marker built from the ground up to be MagFed. But those rules were written before things like the MCS kits became really popular, right? Like you'd buy an A5 or you'd buy a 98 and then you could modify it into MagFed. That rule needs to be removed. So as far as I'm concerned, that I'm doing it live on the air, that marker's allowed in.
Yay.
I don't see any benefit to that over a T15 or an M17. I really don't.
Now, this was,
if anything,
just my attempt to make. Well, I don't know if it's a hindrance. I think it has a couple efficiencies, but for one, it's smaller than it's light. I mean, this started out as a pistol. It's a little bit long now, and I put a foregrip on it. But I mean, this is my PDW. This is going to be my run and gun go to.
There you go. Yeah, I think it's going to be fine. That thing is going to be, it's going to be quiet, I'm guessing.
It's an ion, basically. It's a lot quieter than my Tipex, I can tell you
the
that.
The ion. Oh my god. Yeah. It's the ion was, the TMC has become the new ion. So it's a bad joke. Okay. We're at an hour, man. So that is super cool. I'm blown away at the black magic that you've performed on those masks to make them probably the most technologically advanced paintball mask that I've ever seen. that somebody actually owns and uses. And other people are going to be like, with the Angel Eyes. And the Angel Eyes, there's like two pairs in the world and they don't count. So, so that's super cool. I'm super pumped to see the everything in action. Now that I know what's in those masks, and I'm super excited to see what's going to happen to the CMC. I'm really excited to see the footage that's going to come from those lenses now, like those cameras. It's going to be so good.
Well, we do have footage up from last year's event. We had my wife and I both with these systems, and then our third player had a GoPro.
Oh, so the cameras were, that's where that footage comes from.
Yep.
Oh, well, damn. All right. That's cool. That's awesome. No, really, that's, oh my God, that's so cool. So yeah, thanks for coming on and showing all that off. That was really neat. He didn't even get to the Hammer 7 he modded last year. We'll get to it again. We'll talk about it. There it is. It's gone.
Pistoleros for life. Heck yeah.
Yeah. Zach's all about that pistol life. So yeah, we'll see at the CMC. We'll see on Saturday, and we'll see the ridiculous contraption that hopefully you managed to print.
Yeah, we're gonna be on the bleeding edge of technology. The bleeding edge is like sometimes it's just you bleeding, and like things go wrong. So you know, it'll be fun. We're gonna learn some stuff, I'm sure.
It's gonna be a blast, man. It's gonna be a blast. We're hoping to have. Right now, I'm pretty sure I've got six teams. But last year I knew 100% of three and had 11 teams show up. So I have no idea what to expect. but I think if we get six or seven teams, it'll be a good, I'm going to call that a success due to a pandemic. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Right. So, cause that's what set like six, seven teams. It's 20, 21, 22 people plus all the refs. So, I mean, we can't go over 50 anyways. So I can't have a ton of teams. So, cool. So you mentioned people can reach out to you if they want help on how to get their glasses into their mask.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I guess, I don't know if I should get a comment here or something. I'd just be like, yo. But yeah, people can look me up. I'm Jacob Tramley on Facebook. If you are interested in getting a system like that in your mask, like that's not something that requires a lot of mods. I mean, we just print a little bracket that clamps onto your vent holes and your lens, and we can just hang some glasses off. I mean, those are just store-bought things. So
that's really cool, man. It's a super useful thing that a lot of people have to deal with, right? Like a lot of people struggle with wearing glasses under a mask, or just not wearing their glasses, or they wear their contacts and it's itchy and they don't like them, and whatever reason, doesn't matter. Cool. So people can reach out to you to get some help getting their glasses fixed. I'm gonna be probably pretty busy until the CMC, so I don't know if you'll see a whole lot coming from me. Keep an eye on the YouTube channel, though. I've got a review video coming out in the next day or two of the MCS box mag, which will also be at the CMC in case anybody wants to play around with it, see what it's like. It's super fun. I'm digging it. I had a blast. It's really weird shooting 120 rounds without reloading out of a MagFed marker.
I wonder if there's a way I could fit that on a Tipex. That'd be cool.
So believe it or not, there is.
Really?
Yeah. So
I was just being facetious.
No, hold on.
I've derailed the podcast.
That's not hard. Okay. So this is it, right?
Yeah.
It's a little big, but check it out. Okay. Okay. I can't get the lighting just right.
There. I can see it.
Okay. So see this piece here? Wait, hold on. You're looking at a different camera. Hold on. But bam, okay, I'm going to show it. Yeah, see this piece here, right?
Yeah.
This tower.
So that slides off?
Yeah, and it's held in with a single pin.
Right.
So okay, if you pop the pin off, and then I'm so overexposed on the other camera, that's ridiculous.
Oh, don't worry about it. I've been looking at it all the whole time, so.
Okay. you just like pop that off, and then you pop the other piece on, and then it'll fit on a Tipex. They sell the tower piece for the Tipex as well. So also
that's funny. Yeah.
Look at that. It's like injection, like nylon plastic or some nonsense. I don't know.
All I can think of when I see that is from DEFCON's video about that.
So
shaky.
That was the original one.
Did they fix that?
Yeah. So the original one, it was the rip clip. it's still the same thing. It's still the rip clip, right? But see this plate here? Inside there? Hold on. Boop, boop, boop. That plate in there. That plate was optional on the Gen 1. Yeah. What? Yeah, and then a lot of people are like, well, what if we want the plate? And he's like, we'll just ask for it. And he's like, why wouldn't you just give us the plate? And so now the new one, the plate comes installed.
That seems better.
I did have to shake it once. But I think that's because it was my own fault and I was tipping the whole thing forward. So the balls rolled this way. But to be fair, in their defense, the only reason you have to shake it is if you're one of those people who literally laid down with a full box mag and didn't move. The balls are going to roll around in it. But yeah, the plate, the Gen 1 didn't come with a plate and it was ridiculous. And the balls would
hilarious.
They would like fall in around it. And it was just like, just give us the friggin' plate. And this one he did. So
that reminds me of the old Wrap 4 days.
It gave me a little bit of a flashback. I even said in the review, you'll hear, if you watch the review, I even say like, Tier 1 Armament sent this to me. And they're like, we're going to send you a box mag from MCS. And I was like, yay! I really hope this is a good review. And then they're like, we're sending you a Gen 2. And I'm like, okay. Hope this is a good review. And then I got it. And I was like, oh, holy shit. Nice. This is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I might have to go see PB Taylor, though, and get her to like rig me up like a clip or something. Because this Velcro system... I'm not digging it.
Is that whole thing covered in fabric or is it just a couple sections of it?
No, the whole thing is covered.
You should just get it like a Nova, I don't know, I guess not Nova Scotia, like a New Brunswick flag, just like pasted all over that. That'd be pretty cool. Or just like plaid.
So I don't know how to get the fabric off. I don't think you can. I think the plastic plates in it are actually like
structural.
Sealed, like they're sealed into the plastic.
Right.
Like you'd have to cut all the stitching clean off.
She could still figure it out.
She could probably figure it out. But I just need like a non-Velcro securing system for the lid. Anyways, this is going to be to look at. So if you want to, I don't know, measure this and make something so you could stick it on a Tippex, go nuts. I could send you the measurements.
I'm not sure I would ever trust that much weight to something 3D printed. I'd just be asking for it to fall off. I know my limits.
Mike Merlo was bringing it. He's like, I derailed the podcast by asking if the box mag could be used by a lefty. He went from super enthusiastic about a new toy to downright puzzled in 2 seconds flat. He's not wrong. You can't use this left-handed. So it's just the way it feeds. You can't. Yeah. I mean, there's got to be a way to fix it, but I don't know how. I'm not paid to fix things. I'm paid. Technically, I'm not paid by anybody right now. I'm paid by a cider company to sell cider. So, take what you get.
So, all about the side gig.
Truly is. All right, we're out of here. So, thanks again, man, for coming on and chatting about all your ridiculous, crazy contraptions there.
Anytime.
And I'm super excited to see them in action on Saturday. So, it's going to be a blast. It's going to be a
blast. T-minus 40 seconds until it starts showing up on like China's websites.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Someone's going to take my idea. And you know what? I guess it's going to happen.
Speaking of, okay, I'm derailing again. But have you heard about the new trend about getting these Chinese companies like taken down? So they pop right back up, but it's just a nuisance. Basically, they have bots that what they do is like anybody, they scrape Twitter and they scrape Instagram and they look for like, somebody does a really cool design and somebody goes, oh my God, that would look great on a t-shirt. The bots are scraping for that. So what people have been doing is they've been saying that on Disney stuff. And then the Disney machine is just like, no, boom. Oh, and just like crushes these Chinese companies because the Chinese government is working with Disney because you don't fuck with Disney. I guess like these t-shirt companies, these companies that promote that stuff on Facebook, the ones that like somehow they know, like it's like, you know, like I'm a dad born in July and I drink beer, therefore blah, blah, those kinds of things. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about, right? And it's got like a bald eagle and guns and bullets and a motorcycle.
My wife gets the ones that's like, I love horses and paintball. And it's like, Yeah, right? that's a common t-shirt.
Yeah, like it's just scraping your info. So I guess what happens is like it scrapes Disney stuff, like the Disney image, and then Disney's system catches that and just like crushes them with cease and desists, and it's just it's a fantastic
On Reddit too, where somebody will post a really cool design and then like links for t-shirts with the design start showing up in the comments, and it's just that's what it is. They're just scraping it, and
it's not hard. Teespring, you just copy paste, done. Like it's great. So okay, Zach Joseph, take the Velcro off the box mag lid, glue in some neodymium magnets, use E6000.
I mean, he's got a point. I mean, like I said, the neodymium magnet, that's how I attach my cowboy hat to my mask. So
that's phenomenal.
Also, that's how I attach the fold that gets it out of the way of the antenna. So some magnets in there.
Okay, I might have to do the magnet thing. That sounds like a really great idea. Okay, yeah. We're out of here. We're done. Yeah. Keep an eye out. The review on the Box Mag is coming out, as well as keep an eye out on Saturday. We'll be doing live streaming from the CMC pretty regularly while I'm running around trying to herd cats that are paintball players. That's a lie. They're actually really well-organized.
Mag-fed players, specifically.
To be fair,
everyone's like, stuffing paintballs
like,
in their magazines.
After like, the fifth game, people were just like checking the schedule, and I had like teams lining up getting ready. So... kudos to that. I'm super excited. I'm super pumped for it for Saturday. Can't wait. That's it. We're out of here. I lost my train of thought. Next week, I'm hoping. Yeah. Peace. Next week, I've got a really cool announcement. I should have a really cool announcement on Tuesday to talk about. So some cool stuff is coming. Some cool people will be on the show. And then the week after that, I'll have a very cool guest on as well. I've got 2 weeks lined up. It's going to be a good time. Stay tuned. That's it. I'm out of here. If you guys have any comments, questions, concerns, or if you have any suggestions, shoot me a message. Other than that, leave me alone until after Saturday. I'm done. I'm out of here. It's been a blast. Cheers.
See ya.